Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our examination of Romans chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2 that introduces to us Phoebe has raised the whole subject of church letters. And I think that's something we need to explore. Now, the Apostle Paul is using the last portion, the final chapter, of his epistle to the Romans to introduce Phoebe to the church at Rome. It is, in effect, a letter of introduction, a church letter that allows Phoebe to be received into the church at Rome without question, without suspicion. I read Romans 16:1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Receive her into your fellowship, into your church, into the life of your church. Receive her favorably. Receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. That is, receive her as you would a Christian, not as an unbeliever, not as a visitor, not as a stranger, not as an inquirer, though you would treat all of them courteously and with respect, but receive her as a Christian. In other words, extend to her the love, the help, the concern, the practical fellowship that you would give brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would give other members of your church that you know well. You don't know her, but I'm commending her to you. I'm introducing her to you. I'm telling you about her life and testimony, and I'm telling you that you need to treat her just like you would a member of your own body that you know well. I commend to you, Phoebe, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. So Paul is taking it upon himself as an apostle to write, as it were, a letter of introduction, or in more general terms, a church letter, to introduce Phoebe to the church at Rome. Now, this is just one of a number of texts that suggest to us this practice ongoing in the early church, a practice that for many years was common among Christian churches everywhere, but a practice which seems to be falling out of favor in our day. Now, I guess the question is, do you simply keep up an empty routine of exchanging church letters without any real meaning behind it? Or do you cancel the practice, or do you revive the practice and return it to its intended and original meaning? I would suggest that the last item is the way we ought to treat this. We need to practice exchange of church letters, but we need to restore that to its original and intended meaning, because it has become pretty meaningless in our day. Most of the time, if someone even bothers to write for a church letter, what they're going to get is either a little postcard or a tear-out form that simply has the name of the person on it and some things printed about it that are standard for every person. In most cases, there's nothing personal about it at all. There's no difference from of one church letter to another church letter except a change in name. It says exactly the same thing about every person. On some church letter forms like this, there's a place on the back where you can check little boxes besides words that will tell you more about this person. Faithful in attendance, faithful in giving. I'm trying to think what some of the other categories are there. But the fact of the matter is, in my 34 years now as pastoring, and having received literally hundreds of these little tear-out or postcard church letter forms, I've never seen a one of them that even bothered to check the little boxes on the back. In the case of those forms where those boxes were even present, I think in the majority of cases they're not even there anymore. But when they are, when someone has chosen a form that has those included, I have yet to see one to be filled out. So there's absolutely no information communicated about this person except their name and the fact that they have applied for membership at another church. And you can return a form to them that doesn't tell them anything more than they already knew, except that this person, and you fill in the blank of their name, is a member in good standing of your church and now is being committed to their church. And the fact of the matter is, the term member in good standing doesn't have much meaning in our day and time. Now let me give you a personal experience, and then we'll look at some of the scriptures that I think undergird this practice of church letters. It's probably been, I would say it's been close to 20 years ago now, somewhere between 15 and 20 years ago, that I was going to visit relatives in a far distant state, and having been there once before, I had identified a church close to their home of a particular group that I will not name, and I have long wanted to worship with that group of people, and particularly to experience their observance of the Lord's table, having had some conversations with people who are involved in that group, and knowing that they observe the Lord's table differently than the way we do, but not having had an opportunity to observe their observance of the Lord's table, because number one, I'm not a member of that particular group, and number two, because I'm always in my church on the Lord's Day. So I was on vacation, I was going to be in a far distant state, I knew that there was a church of this group a block or two from my relative's home. So I decided that I would apply for participation in the Lord's table service. Well, I don't remember. It's been so long ago now exactly how I did that. I think I called up. I found the name in the telephone book, and I called up that name and told the person on the other end, who identified himself as an elder, a pastor of that church, and I told him what I had in mind, who I was. I told him my name, who I was, where I was from, what I did, that I was pastor of Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, that I wondered if I could be given the privilege of joining them for their Lord's table service on the Lord's Day. He said, "Do you have a letter of recommendation or a letter of introduction?" And I said, "No, I do not." I had told him that a member of this same group in my state had recommended that I follow through on this procedure, that I contact these people in this way. And I told him who had recommended this to me, but he did not recognize the name. He said, "Do you have a letter from him?" I said, "I do not." So he said, "Will you meet with us 15 minutes prior to the service and give us the opportunity of examining you?" And I said, I'll be glad to. I'll do so gladly. And so sure enough, I came early. There were three or four of the elders of the church that met with me in a private setting and began to question me in regard to my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and my walk with the Lord, my habits, my practices as a Christian, and a number of things. And after satisfying themselves that I was a true believer in Christ, they said, "We will now admit you to the Lord's table." Now, I'm aware of the fact that there are a lot of people who would be offended by a procedure like that. I, on the other hand, was delighted. My concern is that so few churches treat the Lord's table seriously, treat it in a serious manner, particularly in regard to who is admitted to the Lord's table. And so here were some people who obviously took it seriously. But when I got back to my own town and home state, and I contacted my friend who had suggested my doing this and told him what had transpired, I said, "I didn't know that I should have had a letter of introduction." He said, "Oh, I wish I had thought about that. I could have written you one. And if I'd had that letter, I would have avoided the examination, because the letter would have served the same purpose. It would have recommended me to that church, and it would have done so by someone that presumably that they whose word they would take, even though apparently they didn't know my friend. They would recognize him as a member of the same group. They did have directories. They could have looked it up, found out that he was a member of the same group. And upon his recommendation that I be admitted to the Lord's table, they would have gladly accepted that letter of recommendation in the place of a personal examination. That's what Paul is doing here with Phoebe. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for, indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Now, you can tell that Paul does not say a lot about Phoebe here, but he says enough. There is enough information, enough personal information, that a form, a tear-out form or a postcard, would not have accomplished the same purpose. He gives not only her name and the fact that she is a member in good standing, doesn't use that terminology, but that's obviously what is implied, a member in good standing of the church in Cenchrea. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, in other words, a member in good standing of that church. But it also tells them that she is active in the membership of that church, not just a member, not just a nominal member, not just a good member, but an outstanding member. She has an outstanding reputation as a member of the church in Cenchrea. And furthermore, he tells them that she has helped many others, even outside her church, including the Apostle Paul himself. So there is enough personal information to give the church at Rome some concrete information about Phoebe, about her Christian profession, and her testimony and reputation. That's what they need. That's what they are given. That's what this letter accomplishes. That's valuable. That was practiced in the early church. We'll see some more examples of it, Lord willing, tomorrow. And we need to understand this practice, and I'm convinced we need to revive this practice in our day if we're going to recover biblical Christianity again. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.